In a world where politics is all about the fighting.
I watch a George Will or a Charles Krauthammer. You know, I watched them for years. They're losers. They're just losers.
Piers, you also have to... Have you ever fired... Have you fired a weapon?
So that young man should have shot those people.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if someone had...
WCHL cuts through to the heart of the matter. It's time for I'll Grant You That. Reasoned, calm, thoughtful. With your host, Berkeley Grimble.
Welcome to I'll Grant You That, a show about politics. Certainly a subject which, if you were like me, you've had a hard time not talking and thinking about in the past, what, name your length of time, certainly since the last election. This will be the second show that we've done since the election. The last show I did by myself just to kind of get things off of my chest. But today I'm pleased to have in the studio Jane Lesserman Madison here to talk about things with me. Jane, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Jane is a professor emeritus in the UNC Department of Psychology. That means she's really smart. And she has spent many years on the board of the Compass Center, which briefly, tell us for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with the Compass Center, what exactly is the Compass Center and what is your mission there?
Right. The Compass Center was a merger of the Women's Center and the Family Violence Prevention Center in Orange County. And we are the only domestic violence agency in Orange County serving clients with all kinds of needs in terms of domestic violence, but also serving the needs of the Women's Center originally. We also provide education in the schools about empowerment. We provide self-sufficiency training in terms of taxes and finances, legal help. So a whole host of services in addition to domestic violence services.
And that's exactly why you were one of the first people I thought about when I sort of was trying to think about how to continue with this show. As I said last week, my first thought after the election was to not continue just because I was so disheartened and thought, what's the point? But, I mean, you have to get back in the saddle and carry on. I mean, life will continue. You know, eventually we'll all be gone, and so we might as well do what we can while we're here.
Absolutely.
But so I wanted to have you on because I've been really thinking more and more about, but in particular, the issue of misogyny, and it's a huge word, and it means a huge numbers of things, and has been around for, I guess, since probably the beginning of time. But I just sort of wanted to partially explore that in light of the fact that it came to so much to light so much with both of these candidates, in that Donald Trump is a clear and obvious misogynist of the most rankest, horrific degree, seems to me. I don't think you can make a case otherwise. One time when I had a Republican lady on, and I asked her about that, and her only defense was, well, he seems to be doing okay. I like his children. His children are doing okay. So, well, maybe he's a decent father. But I think that's the only thing I can think about him that I would say in a positive light. And then the fact that it seems to me that a lot of the seemingly visceral hatred of Hillary Clinton, which was hard to go, wait a minute, you know, come on, Benghazi and the emails, and yeah, these are some stupid bad things, but why do you hate this woman with such passion? And I ask a lot of people that, and a few of them did kind of allow us how, well, maybe it, you know, there's an undercurrent of misogyny going on there. What do you think?
So, you know, you're in trouble when Megyn Kelly from Fox News says there's a problem with sexism and misogyny in
you
the United
do.
States.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Fox News, and, you know, the way she was treated by the candidate during the election was appalling. And we certainly, I mean, we always know that sexism, and I've always known that sexism was there, didn't just disappear. But I guess most of us thought it was a little more subtle and not quite as, you know, most people wouldn't be quite as rank in the way that they would approach women. But when you have a candidate for president and now president-elect that basically approaches women in a way that is disrespectful and sexist and, you know, thinks it's okay to grab women sexually and that it's not sexual abuse, I guess, from his point of view, or I don't know what he thinks about it. But these things are very bad for our society because that's the role model for our society is our president. And if our president isn't a good role model, what happens in the schools? And that's what you're seeing now, that in the school system, you have racism, you know, people experiencing racism because of the remarks of President-elect, as well as, you know, discrimination against Muslims. And in addition to, I would expect to see, you know, girls being disrespected by boys in a more often because of this president.
Have you noticed anything of that at all in the sort of work you do with that? But I guess that might take a little while.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a more subdued thing.
In terms of domestic violence, that's an issue that's always going to be with us.
Right.
You know, it's unfortunately that's the reality because there are always going to be situations where men will dominate women in a way that's violent. But when you have a president at the top treating women in a violent way, it kind of gives an okay sign to men that maybe it's okay to beat your wife.
Yeah.
Maybe it's okay to disrespect your wife. Maybe you're the one that should be the boss and they should just shut up. You know, that's really negative. And, you know, I don't usually look to business for improvement in society because I figure, well, they're interested in making a profit. And so you can't really expect them to be the leaders in actually improving things. But in this case, I think we need to look to business. So there's been a whole huge issue recently where women have talked about problems in industry, particularly the tech industry. Mm-hmm. Where there have been such problems with women not being respected by men, having ideas and then just sort of ignored. And so also women sort of being labeled as bossy. You ask people to raise their hand in a group of tech people and you say, you know, a bunch of men, have you ever been called bossy? None of them raise their hand. And you ask that of women and they all raise their hand. Right. So you know something's wrong. So the tech industry is starting to respond, and they're, trying to think about how can we make this a place that's better for women and men. And in fact, that's a way to improve their bottom line, because when industry has a more egalitarian point of view in terms of their employees, everybody produces more, everyone does better. And this isn't just about women and men. It's also about racial and ethnic group differences. People of different minority groups feeling isolated, feeling that they need help. Mm-hmm.
We have to take a short break here. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That, and we shall return. Welcome back to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble, here in the studio with Jane Lesserman Madison, and we are talking about women's issues, really, misogyny, which is certainly something recently it's sort of crystallized in my mind as something that I would like to understand better. And particularly, Jane, if we look at all the things we've been talking about, but it just seems like all these dark forces are released. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm in a Hobbit movie, right? And Mordor is coming up, because it feels that dark. It's like, wait a minute, what country do we live in and how can this happen? All these issues that we thought, oh, sure, they're there, but you know, I guess they're this you know, the darkness has always been there and we've been glossing over it. I mean, I guess the short answer is we aren't as civilized as we think we are, or we hope we are. And so that's kind of been a depressing wake-up call. But anyway, sort of at the break, you know, we were addressing, you know, well, what does it feel like as a woman? I mean, you are obviously a successful, empowered, I would say, woman. So, I mean, how has misogyny impacted your life?
You know, I have managed to make sure that I'm around men who treat me respectfully. And when they don't, I tend not to let myself get bullied. Uh-huh. It's not easy to do that, but in the past when I have felt someone was bullying me, I reacted, and they then treated me a lot better. So I think it's the same lesson you learn, that anytime you are interacting with a bully, you're, if you confront them, they'll often back down. But I think that my feeling now, instead of just trying to, you know, I'm trying not to think about what has happened too much so that I don't become catatonic.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it's really important for us to still engage and still interact in the system and do what we can. I think that I'm really worried about Planned Parenthood, for example, and seeing what we can do to help them so that they can continue to do the important work that they do to help women with health issues, with pregnancy planning and that sort of, or pregnancy prevention, and with a variety of health issues that they deal
with. And that is one thing, if you follow John Oliver's show, at his last show, he said, here's what we can do, folks. And he listed Planned Parenthood among these organizations that, if you, even if you want to do anything, give them some money.
Right.
So at least they've, you know, have some political capital or some actual capital to, you know, maybe affect the political process so that they aren't completely squashed by what, you know, appears to be a steamroller of.
Right. And I think you have to say, you have to say something. I mean, if you're in a crowd of people and someone says something offensive, either towards women or towards a racial or ethnic group, I think it behooves all of us to say, excuse me, you know, and you don't have to do it in a nasty way, but just say, you know, this is very offensive language. And it's not political correctness. It's just simply how we want to talk about each other in a respectful way.
It's called human correctness, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's called how do we want to treat each other as human beings? I mean, you know, and that's why one point I didn't make in my last show, which I wanted to make, was how shocked I was at all of these so-called religious people, you know, I mean, in religious women who, I mean, if you believe in the Jesus of peace, love, and understanding, and you can vote for Donald Trump, I just don't understand it. I mean, there's obviously more going on here than my own, you know, tiny mind can wrap its head around.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who the issue of abortion is basically
everything. Yeah, yeah.
And so they are going to vote so that they can have the chance to outlaw abortion.
Yeah, that's, I guess that trumps, everything else.
The thing that really has always bothered me is that I can understand that you would be against abortion. But if you're against abortion, then you also have to say, well, there's going to be a lot of children born into the world by people who are not able to take care of those children. And yet, the same people who are against abortion are also against any sort of welfare and spending money, helping the poor, you know. So there has to be some sort of consistency, if you know, with that group of people and saying, well, if you care about life, how about the health of those babies?
Yeah, and finding that consistency is what's so difficult. But to speak to what you said before about standing up and saying something, But how do you do it without being confrontational? And that is what is so hard. You have to have really good control. I mean, even before I undertook doing this show, I had to really work going, okay, you're going to talk to people who don't agree with you. Normally, you have this sort of stomach feeling of, okay, fight or flight's happening, you know, the enemy or whatever, stand up and raise your voice.
Right.
So, I mean, that it requires a really, I mean, and Greg Meyer, my friend, made a wonderful piece that I put on Facebook about how the need to listen. I mean, and listening is very much an active thing, you know, that you have to do. It takes effort and energy. And that probably, if anything, if we're going to get anywhere with this process of trying to do heal the country, you know, we're going to start listening. I don't think they're going to reach out and listen to us. I think we're going to have to be the ones listening, you know, and even hate to say us and them, but that's kind of seems like what we're up against. It just seems like this.
Well, it's certainly breaking apart families.
Yeah.
You know, this election has really taken its toll.
Going to be a tough Thanksgiving around the old U.S. of A., I think.
I think so as well.
I mean, it's never been fun at my house. I will say I was proud of my super right-wing brother. He did at least vote for the Libertarian. So, I mean, and I can appreciate that. I mean, I don't agree with most of what they libertarians say, but at least it's – they've got a valid thing, and their guy was at least a valid guy.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you kind of feel badly for people who vote on the side of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, you just wonder how can you feel comfortable with a candidate that's being supported by the Klan. And so you got to ask yourself that question. And I think it's very hard. It's very hard for us liberals who are just trying to understand what's going on, because it's really hit us very hard and very unaware of what was going to happen, I think.
Very unaware. And so, but that's why we have to keep talking and keep trying to figure out what we can do, I say, both to sort of make ourselves better so we can go out there and hopefully engage without bringing up a response.
Right. And I think just even trying to...
We have to take a short break here, so we'll be right back. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That. Welcome back to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble, here in the studio with Jane Lesserman Madison, talking about the election and how it has affected us. And give us some final thoughts here, Jane, in our last 4 minutes.
Yes, I think I'd like to say that it's important that people of color, people of different religious groups feel comfortable in this country. And what can we do about that? Well, I think it's important to just say to strangers, you know, I'm so glad you're here. Or, you know, basically let them know that you're happy to see them and happy they're in your community. Because with all of the messages that are so negative towards them, I think there's so many people now that are very, very afraid.
Yeah.
And it's good for them to know that there are people out there, and many people out there, that are with them and don't feel the way that the Trump supporters do.
It was an interesting piece by James Fallows from The Atlantic and on the radio. And he and his wife flew around the country in his airplane for 3 years going to small towns. And his big takeaway was that even in small towns where maybe the economy wasn't great, most people felt like they were okay. Their town was, you know, maybe struggling, but okay. Even in towns with lots of immigrants, you know, they're our immigrants. They're okay, you know. And so, which sort of counters the whole fear and hatred thing that people have been sold, which I think, you know, I think a lot of this is people have been told this, you know. I mean, certainly, obviously, Donald Trump said we're falling apart. The country's, you know, going to hell in a handbasket, unless you elect me. And sort of people believed that when, in point of fact, I think most people at their core are better than that, I'd like to think.
I'd like to think that, too. And I think it's important to send that message out whenever we can.
Yeah, absolutely. So great thing to do. Smile at anybody, particularly, I guess, I mean, if you see an Arab, you know, smile at them. There was an article recently about a young Arabic woman on a subway or something in New York, and she was wearing hijab. And she said she really felt that people were reaching out, you know.
Right.
She felt good vibes coming from people as they sort of felt more welcoming to her. So, yeah, we have to do that, and even in little subtle ways, as much as like you're saying. Maybe
we're glad you're in our community.
Something simple, just to make people feel that they aren't – that this entire country isn't – you know, isn't
racist.
Donald Trump and isn't racist and you know, so. Well, this thank you very much for coming on. If anybody out there would like to get in touch with me, I do have a little email. You can email me. It's Berkeley, BerkeleyWCHL at Gmail. BerkeleyWCHL@gmail. I'd love to, if you are listening to this. One thing about WCHL, since we don't subscribe to the ratings, we don't really know how many people are listening to us. So could be 10, 100, I don't know, 500, who knows? We don't know how many people will be hearing us. But hopefully, if you hear it and you liked what you're hearing, let me know. Or if you'd like to come on the show and talk about, you know, politics, whatever, the situation we're in. I'm just kind of in the business of trying to figure it out and trying to figure out how to be better at it. Being in this world and under the circumstances that we're in. So, well, Jane, Thank you so much for coming on. It's been wonderful. I mean, I have lots more questions I'd like to ask you around women's issues, so maybe you'll come back on sometime.
Sure. Thanks so much.
You're most welcome. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That, and we will come back next week.